Acts chapter number 18. Now, we kind of looked at Acts chapter number 18 last week, but we kind of just went through it. I didn't really give you any points about it. We just kind of went through it and talked about it. But tonight, I'll give you three points about this. Acts chapter number 18. We're going to try our wireless mic again and see if it's working. So, Sunday, it kind of caused some trouble, but we changed a couple of things, so we'll see if that works. And it sounds like it's working okay at the moment. But Acts chapter number 18, and again, we kind of went through here and looked at this. Now, we didn't look at the whole thing, but we read down to verse 17, and I finished with the fact that it says there, then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and they beat him. And then we looked over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and it was the letters from Paul and Sosthenes, our brother. And I said, it's a very good possibility that's the same guy. Remember when Paul first got here to Corinth, the first ruler of the synagogue was Crispus, and he did get saved. He trusted Christ as his Savior, and it looks like that the second guy here, he must have trusted Christ as his Savior too. So that's a blessing, and I'm sure glad about that. But let me just give you 3 points here in the outline about this tonight, about the whole chapter. Number one, Paul finds new friends. And Paul finds new friends. I'm going to go ahead and give you the outline. Just so you can kind of break up this chapter here. But Paul finds new friends. That's verses 1 through 3, which we'll look at. Then Paul founds a new church, 4 through 17. And then Paul finishes his second missionary journey. Okay, and actually he finishes that. And that's just down to verse 22, and that's the outline. We'll cover it in verse 22, but we'll look at the rest of it. But that's kind of the end of his second missionary journey there. And so that's important because verse 23 starts his third missionary journey. And then there's a little parenthesis down here, verses 24 through 28, that kind of goes back to this man named Apollos. Well, we know that from Athens, Paul made his way to Corinth. Okay, and again, on our map here, Brother Drew, could you put up the second missionary journey, please? Thank you. From Athens, of course, we know he went to Philippi. Then he went to Thessalonica, then he went to Berea, was persecuted in all those places there. The brethren escorted him down to Athens. In Athens, he received a commandment to Silas and Timothy, who stayed there at Berea. And then he himself went on later to Corinth. And that's, of course, where he founded this church. Later on, he wrote 2 letters to that church there at Corinth. And we last week looked at the fact that Corinth was a very influential city. It was a very wicked city. It was one of the most wicked of all the ancient cities. That would be correct. I mean, had nightclubs everywhere, had nightlife, and people, I mean, they were just very wicked. But at the same time, it was a very intellectual center. There were a lot of intellectual people there, and a lot of there was the temple of Aphrodite. She was the god of fertility that they worshipped, and that was a world-known temple there. And by the way, we're not talking about the gift of tongues, and the Bible does teach the gift of tongues. Now, I'll just say this. We're not going to take a lot of time to talk about this right now, but we'll talk about it more in Corinthians. But and let me just say this, this might upset you, but if it does, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. But the modern day tongue movement, and what the Bible has today about, says about speaking in tongues, they don't line up together. Okay? In the Bible, the gift of tongues was, and the Bible uses the word tongues, and it means one of two things. It means the tongue in your mouth, or it means a known language. And what happened in Acts chapter number 2 was God supernaturally gave those folks the ability to speak in the languages of all of those people that were present. They did not know those languages. And God gave them that ability immediately, miraculously, and they were able to preach the gospel. All those people heard them. The Bible says it very plainly. How here we speak every man in our own language. And the result was that about 3,000 folks got saved. And they got baptized. The Bible only mentions tongues 5 times. Now, as far as languages, it mentions it in Mark chapter number 16. mentions it in Mark 16, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, and then there is a group of chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Only once in the whole Scriptures, let me back up and say this. Only three times in all the Scriptures did anybody ever speak in tongues, the Bible says. And it was over a period of over 20 years that those things happened. From Acts chapter number 2 to Acts chapter 10 is, I believe it's about 8 years. And then from Acts 10 to Acts chapter 19, I believe is about 13 years, I think. So in a period of a little over 20 years, three times did people speak in tongues. And only one time, I hear that thing in there again. So just turn this off and turn this one on, please, to number 4. So only one of those three times are miracles associated with tongues. Only once, that's Acts chapter number 2. And again, very plainly, they spoke in other languages. So here's what I'm saying. All the jibber-jabber stuff that is associated with the modern-day tongues movement, it has its origin in Corinth. It has its origin in the... Now, understand, I'm not using this word like we would normally mean it, but they were called sacred prostitutes. There were about 1,000 prostitutes at the temple at Aphrodite's, and part of their religion was them being prostitutes and doing all of that evil stuff, but also all this jibber-jabber stuff that's how they spoke. In all this jibber-jabber kind of stuff, that's where it started. Now, I say that's where it started. We know that there's nothing new under the sun. So, wickedness and evil started a long time before that. But the modern-day tongues movement, this is where it has its origin right here. So that's what these prostitutes did. That's the way that they talked when they got all excited and they got all worked up in all of their religious duties, okay? So, that happened, and I say that because it happened right here in Corinth. And, of course, when Paul went to Corinth, he founded the church, then he wrote the two letters back to the church, and this church at Corinth had more problems than any other church in the New Testament. More than any other epistle. He writes these epistles to this church trying to correct their problems. They had all kinds of problems. Speaking in tongues was just one of them. They had all kinds of problems in this church. But this is where he founds the church here, and there are good people in this church. Not everybody was messed up in all the worldliness that was coming into the church. Now, I say that because remember, Corinth was a very, very worldly, immoral city, and a lot of that crept into the church. And so Paul wrote these letters to try to correct that and to try to get these people to live like they had been saved and not live like they were living before they were saved. All right, so now, chapter 18, 1 through 3, Paul finds new friends. Now, this must have been a real encouragement to the Apostle Paul because these became real friends. Now, understand, Paul had Timothy with him. He had Silas with him. Dr. Luke is not with him right now. Dr. Luke stayed behind in Thessalonica, and he's not with him right now. And the Apostle Paul, he did not stay in one place very long. He actually stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, which was a long time. And he stayed in Ephesus for 3 years later on, which was the longest place that he ever stayed anywhere. But he didn't have, obviously, too many friends. Now, he had friends along the way that were saved, but not that were actually the kind of friends that Aquila and Priscilla were, because obviously they were with the Apostle Paul, and he writes to them. They went with him to Ephesus, and then he writes to them in Rome later on. So these were two godly people, and I showed you this last week. Brother Drew, put that, put the one up there, please, about the that has Pontus on it up here. Okay, I'm not. That would be the one that's got the whole world map on it, I think, up there. Can you find that one? There it is, right there. Thanks, Pontus, right there. Okay, so as we read this verse here, you'll know where it is. Now we read this last week, but look at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus. So he was born up there. Now again, that's the Black Sea right there. This is Turkey right here, okay? So that's where he was born. Then it says, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Here's Rome, right over here, and Claudius was the emperor of the Roman Empire, and he commanded all the Jews to leave. So Aquila and Priscilla left and ended up right over here in Corinth, where the Apostle Paul is at. And they became very, very good friends. The Bible says in verse 3 that they were of the same craft. They were tent makers. So Paul was a tent maker by trade. And it was customary for Jewish fathers to teach their sons a trade, even if their fathers were going to be rabbis. Now, Paul was a Pharisee. He was very high up in the religious system. But Paul had an occupation. Obviously, he had to learn that, and his occupation was a tent maker. Remember that Jesus Christ, his dad, taught him to be a carpenter. He was known as the carpenter's son. My wife and I have been to Nazareth, and we actually went to a place that they say, that they believe, was the place where Joseph and Mary lived. And we actually went downstairs, and they say that they think this was the place where the carpenter shop would have been, if that was indeed where they lived. Okay, so it was customary for the Jewish fathers, even if their sons were going to be rabbis, to teach them something. So Paul's trade was a tent maker, and he used that to support himself in Corinth. And it was, again, God led his path to cross these godly people, Aquila and Priscilla, and they became very good friends of Paul. And now remember, all the places that Paul had been over here, it must have been a real blessing to meet these two folks that loved the Lord and that became friends like he did. Became friends because they were like he was. Look at verse 18, if you would. It says this, Paul's leaving now, and he's going, he's going to Ephesus. Here's Ephesus. Go back to Second Journey, if you would, Brother Drew. Journey, he is leaving, he's going to leave here. He's going to stop in Centria here, and then he's going to go over to Ephesus, okay? Verse 18 says, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him, Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centria, for he had a vow, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. So these folks even left with the Apostle Paul and went with him to Ephesus. And then later on, I mentioned that Paul greets them in Rome. Obviously, they stayed there in Ephesus for a while, but obviously moved on to Rome. Look at Romans chapter number 16, if you would. Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 3. Romans 16:3, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So they met him in Corinth. They stayed with him there for a while. Then they went with him to Ephesus. They stayed there for a while. And then obviously they went on to Rome and were part of the church there at Rome. Aquila and Priscilla are good examples to us of Christians who open their hearts and their homes to serve the Lord. They obviously took in the Apostle Paul, and if you read about them, they were obviously hospitable people, and that's a blessing. They sure were a blessing to the Apostle Paul because he actually stayed with them. Look at verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. So they opened up their home to the Apostle Paul, and he actually stayed with them. Okay? And I think God blessed them for that because they were a blessing to the man of God. Then in verse 24 through 28, which again, we're kind of skipping over here because this is going to tell us about a man named Apollos. Okay, now I read where they went over to Ephesus. Okay, they actually stay in Ephesus. They do. Paul goes on. If you'll read them, if you'll read with me verse 20. Well, I'll tell you what, verse 19, we read the first part, but it says, and he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered in the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not,
but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Okay, then the Bible says in verse 23, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So, he went to Ephesus, stayed there just a little bit. Priscilla and Aquila stayed there, and then he himself, he sailed back to, he landed in Caesarea, went to Jerusalem for the feast, and then after that, he went back to Antioch. And that's the end of his second missionary journey. That second missionary journey took him a few years, 2 to 3 years, and he traveled in this second missionary journey. And he actually left from there and went, and then he ends back up there. That missionary journey was about 1,500 miles. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He walked and probably rode donkeys or that kind of transportation and preached the gospel and was persecuted from city to city for 1,500 miles for a period of a couple of years. And that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, he left Priscilla and Aquila there. And if you'll look down at verse 24, it says this, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria. Now, Alexandria is in Egypt. An eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, somebody had taught this man, Apollos, the Scriptures, but obviously those people did not know what had happened since the time of John the Baptist. They didn't know all that had happened since that time, because that's all that this guy, Apollos, knew. And so look at verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So we're kind of skipping over to this part because it has to do with these folks that he met there at Corinth, Aquila and Priscilla. They were with Paul in Corinth. They sailed with him to Ephesus and they stayed there in Ephesus. And then they heard this man, Apollos, preaching and teaching the way of the Lord. But he did not know all of the way of the Lord. Obviously, he just knew about the baptism of John up until that time of John the Baptist. So obviously, he did not know about the finished work of redemption. He did not know about the Holy Spirit of God coming upon the church and anointing the church with the power of God. He didn't know all of those things. And so Aquila and Priscilla, they did know those things. And they took him in. Now, I think this is a blessing. They didn't humiliate this godly man in public. They didn't stand up and say, excuse me, sir, you don't got it right. You don't know the whole story. You only know part of the story. They didn't do that. They took him unto them, the Bible says, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. In other words, they explained the rest of the story. And then this man was mightily used of God because the Bible says that he mightily convinced the Jews, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So obviously Aquila and Priscilla did a good job in discipling this man. And this man, we're going to read about him later on in the book of Corinthians. And so obviously this man was used of God. But these people, Aquila and Priscilla, were godly people. And they had a big influence in what happened there in Corinth, what happened in Ephesus, and what happened in different places around the world. So, Paul finds new friends, and they were friends indeed. Number two, Paul founds the church. Now, that's verses 4 through 17. Verses 4 through 17, we read again this last week. We'll read some more of this right now. Chapter 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now, we mentioned last week that Paul and Silas, they stayed there in Berea. And the plan was for them to come to Athens, but they didn't make it to Athens. They made it to Corinth when Paul was there. And obviously, what that word pressed again means was he was compelled. Obviously, Silas and Timotheus, that's Timothy, brought back word of how the church in Thessalonica was standing fast in the heat of the persecution that encouraged the Apostle Paul, and it compelled him here in Corinth to preach that Jesus was Christ. And again, that means that Jesus was the Messiah. That's what Paul was preaching. He was telling these people that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. And the Bible says, and when they opposed themselves, that simply means this. They resisted what the Apostle Paul was preaching. They would not allow themselves to believe the message that Jesus was Christ. And that led them to, the Bible says in blaspheme, that led them to speak irreverently about Jesus Christ and about the things that the Apostle Paul was preaching. And the Bible says he shook his raiment. We looked at that last week. That was an outward sign showing them that they had turned their back on God. And that's what the Lord commanded the apostles to do if a town would not receive the word of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. And said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus. Now, he was living with Aquila and Priscilla up until this time. But now, because he is turning to the Gentiles, the Jews have rejected his message, he moved in with a man named Justus. And this was a man, it says, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. In other words, this man Justus lived next to the synagogue. Now, we don't know this for a fact, but it might be that the Apostle Paul was going to the Gentiles now, and he'd been living with Aquila and Priscilla. They were Jews. It could be that the Apostle Paul did not want to bring any more persecution, anything else bad to his friends, Aquila and Priscilla, by living with them and then going to the Gentiles. Could be that he didn't want to bring any bad or any harm to them. So he moved, since he was going to the Gentiles, he moved out of their house and moved in with this man, Justus. And again, the Bible doesn't say that, but he did move out and he did move in with this guy here whose house was right next to the synagogue. So that's a possibility there. And the Bible says, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. And I mentioned last week, that's the order. You hear the word of God. You believe the word of God. That means you believe it, you trust it, you get saved. And then you follow the Lord and believe his baptism. Last Saturday, we were out knocking doors, and Boaz and I, is that right, Boaz? You were with me, weren't you? Saturday morning. We were knocking on doors on the side of the street, and a young man came to the door, a 21-year-old man named Taylor. And I asked him before we left. I said, Taylor, let me ask you the most important question in the world, and that is this. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I'm not. I said, if I could take my Bible and go through there and show you some verses about what the Bible says about how you can know for sure you're on your heaven, on the way to heaven, would you let me? He said, sure. So I stood there at the door and went through some verses. And I read him that verse that said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I explained to him how he could know for sure that he's on his way to heaven. And Taylor bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ right there at his door. And that's a blessing. He was going to come Sunday, but he had to work. Drew went over to pick him up, but he had to work. But that's exactly what people here in Corinth did. They heard the word of God. They believed what the word of God said about their sin and about their destiny. And they trusted Christ as their Savior. And to show people outwardly what had happened on the inside, they followed the Lord in believers' baptism. That's exactly what happened. You see, we are just following the New Testament example, the New Testament model, when we are going out and knocking doors, when we are trying to build a church, we are just simply doing the same things that they did here in the Scriptures. And they're our model. And so, praise the Lord, Paul founds a church here with these folks that had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you will, let me see here. Again, we talked about Sosthenes. That's a blessing. And now let me just go ahead and finish with this tonight. Paul finishes his second journey, verses 18 through 22. We actually looked at that, but Paul stayed there. If you'll remember now, there was a change in leadership politically because a man named Gallio became the deputy of Achaia, and Achaia is all this area right in here, which would include Corinth. So now this guy, he becomes the political leader of Achaia, and so the Jews, they made insurrection against Paul, is what it says in verse 12, and brought him before Gallio, hoping to, have Paul thrown in jail, having beaten up, having locked away or something. And Gallio, he didn't even care. He didn't care about the Jews. He didn't care about their laws. And so when Paul was about to make his defense, then that's when he says, down in verse number 14, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it. I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. And then all those Greeks, they took Sosthenes, who was now the ruler of the synagogue. Obviously, Crispus, when he got saved, obviously they got rid of him as the ruler of the synagogue because he'd been saved. And so now they put in this man Sosthenes. And they take him and they beat him right before the judgment seat. And Gallio, he didn't care a bit about that. And, you know, I'm sure when it says they beat him, they didn't just slap him around a little bit. I mean, they were furious at him. So I'm sure they beat him, you know, bad. But the Bible says later on, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 1, uses this man's name. So I think that that's the same guy, and I think that he also got saved. And then it says, verse 18, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. So Paul stayed in this city after this happened for quite a while. And he had Aquila and Priscilla helping him there. And then he left. Now here's something interesting. You might have seen this before. And verse 18, the end of it. Let's just read the whole thing. And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Now, this part right here. Having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Now, I have studied that right there. And the truth is, everybody that I've read after says this. We don't exactly know what all that entails. What kind of vow was it? We don't know for sure. The Bible does say that having shorn his head in Cenchrea, that means he cut his hair. Okay, that's what that means. And it could have been all kinds of vows. Some have suggested he took a Nazarite vow. We don't know that for sure. Don't know. Some have said maybe he took a vow because of the goodness of God, because of what God had done in Corinth and through his ministry. Well, we're just speculating because we don't know. But obviously, Paul had made a vow to God, and he kept that vow. That's what we can learn from this. I don't know what the vow was, but I know this. When you make a vow to the Lord, it's important that you keep it. And the Apostle Paul did that. Let me just read you some verses here about that. Numbers 30, verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Deuteronomy 21 through 23. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform. Job chapter 22, 27. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Bible says in Psalms 50, 14 and 15, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 76:11, vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. And then lastly of all, this verse here, this is the last verse I'll read you tonight. It's Ecclesiastes 5:4-5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Some people are very flippant about making vows to God. It's just like, oh, I vow this and vow that, and they don't, it's no big deal. Well, it ought to be a big deal. Don't vow something unless you're planning on doing it. Don't vow unto God that you're going to do something if you don't do it. Because if you do, then God expects you to pay that. And I don't know what this vow was, but it entailed having his hair cut. And Paul went right here. Okay, he went from Corinth to Centuria, and there is where he performed that vow, whatever that vow was, and then he left from there. So, then in verse 22, now look at it, when he had landed at Caesarea, right here. So he came back over here, landed at Caesarea, right there. Then he went to Jerusalem to keep the feast, the Bible says, and gone up. That means to Jerusalem, and saluted the church. That's at Jerusalem. He went down to Antioch. Now, I've explained this before, but if you look this way on this map, it doesn't look like he went down. You got to understand this. When you go out from Jerusalem, whichever way you go, you're going down in elevation. Okay? Not like you wouldn't say, yeah, I'm going down to Reading. I mean, we wouldn't say that. We'd say, I'm going up there because it's up. Okay, Antioch's up. So when you read that, that's what that means. Okay, so that's the end of the second missionary journey. Third missionary journey starts in verse 23. And after he had spent some time there in Antioch, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And then there's that little parenthesis about Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila. But verse 23, he starts off. He spent some time there in Antioch. Then he starts off on his third missionary journey. Brother Drew, put that picture up there, please. The third missionary journey. There it is right there. See, he starts from Antioch, then goes back up here. Remember, this is where he started churches all up in here. And here's what you got to do as you read the book of Acts. For it to make more sense, you got to read these epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote to these churches he started. Because he's there in Antioch. And he gets word of churches. This is found in the book of Galatians. That the Judaizers, now we mentioned this when we studied Galatians in Sunday school, but the Judaizers were moving into the churches, teaching the new converts that you must keep the law. You must become a Jew, keep the law, and then you can be saved. And so the Apostle Paul moved on to these churches to correct that. That was the beginning of his third missionary journey. And we'll look at that third journey real soon. I'm excited about that. Then, of course, he makes the third journey, and then later on he goes to the book of, the last. Go ahead and put that last one up there. This is not actually his last one, but this is his journey to Rome. Now, I'll just mention this to you, and we'll get in more detail later, but we're going to be talking about 1 Timothy in Sunday school this Sunday. It looks like that Paul was in prison here in Rome. Well, we know that. The book of Acts ends with him in prison in Rome. But it looks like the Apostle Paul was let loose from prison for a while. We don't know exactly how long. But for some of these things to happen, like that is presented to us in the epistles, they don't fit in any of these journeys here that we're reading about in the book of Acts. And so it looks like that Paul, again, the book of Acts ends with him in prison here in Rome. It looks like he was released. And it looks like he went about ministering again to these different places. And then he was rearrested and sent to Rome for a second time. And then that's where he was executed by Nero. Okay, so we're going to look at 1 Timothy on Sunday morning, and we'll see some of those things. But I just wanted to mention that because we're getting closer to the end of the book of Acts. And so that I think that will help you kind of understand it. Well, praise the Lord. Paul finds new friends, Paul founds a church, and Paul finishes his second missionary journey. Apostle Paul was a busy man, wasn't he? And God used that man in a tremendous way. Traveled 1,500 miles just in this second missionary journey. And man, what a ministry God gave the Apostle Paul. I'm excited about that. I think I have the leading of the Lord in this, and I just want to tell you to kind of hopefully you'll get as excited as I am about it. But I think the Lord is leading us to, when we get done with the book of Acts on Wednesday night, to start studying all the different epistles, which that's going to take a long time, that Paul actually wrote back to all these churches that we've seen him start here. I think when we go through the book of Acts and see him starting these churches, and then over a period of years, we look at these letters that he writes back, you're going to get to see the big picture. You're going to get to see the whole thing and how it all comes together. So I'm excited about that. And of course, that's going to take a long time. But we have until the Lord comes back or until we go to heaven. Amen. So I'm excited about that. Well, let's all stand and we will have a word of prayer. If you'd bow your head and close your eyes, if you would, please. The Apostle Paul, we know, of course, traveled and the Apostle Paul preached. The Bible says, uses these words, hearing, believed, and were baptized. These folks heard the word of God. What did they hear? They heard that they were sinners. And they heard that there is a price for sin. And the Bible says that is that you die, and without Christ, you spend eternity in hell. That's called the second death, according to the book of the Revelation. But thank God, the Apostle Paul didn't just stop there. He preached that they were sinners, preached that there was a price for sin, but he also preached that Jesus of Nazareth, the one that he said was the Christ, had come and was born of the Virgin Mary, had lived a perfect sinless life, then died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and he did that because he loved them. And he paid for their sin debt. And then he preached to them that if you would simply repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he would come into your heart, live in your heart, and he would take you to heaven when you die. And those people believed that. And those people were saved. And those people followed the Lord in believers' baptism. You see, baptism comes after salvation. Baptism doesn't save you. Good works doesn't save you. Church membership doesn't save you. It's putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that will save you from your sin and take you to heaven when you die. That's what the Apostle Paul preached. And if you're here tonight, then we want to make sure that you understand that. That you understand that you're a sinner. And that Jesus died on the cross for you. And he's already paid your sin debt. And that if you would simply turn from your sin and turn to him and ask him to come in your heart, he would come in your heart and save you and guarantee you a home in heaven when you die. Let me just ask you this. Nobody's looking around and every eye's closed. Let me just ask you this. How many would say this, Pastor? If I were to die tonight, I'm 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven because I too have heard the word of God and believed what it said, and trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand tonight? God bless you. Amen. Amen. Would there be anyone here tonight? And again, no one's looking around. We wouldn't embarrass you. We wouldn't do that. But we'd sure like to pray for you. Would there be anybody that would say this, Pastor, if I were to die tonight, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure that I've done what the Bible says you have to do. But I would like to do that, to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand so we could pray for you? Anybody like that? Okay. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that if there is anyone here, Lord, that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight will be the night that they will do that. And Lord, I thank you that most of the folks here raised their hands and said they were saved. Help us, Lord, to be busy about telling others the good news, like the Apostle Paul was. And Lord, I pray that you will just speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that folks would respond during this invitation in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if God spoke to your heart tonight, as Miss Vicki plays an invitation, if God spoke to your heart tonight, then I pray you'll do business with him. If you need to see, if you're a lady and you need to talk to my wife, or you're a man and you need to talk to me, we'd be glad to do that. We'd be glad to take the scriptures and show you what the scriptures say that you must do in order to be born again. We don't want you to leave if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Lord, again, we thank you for allowing us to be here and study your word. And I pray, God, that you would help us all to be busy about telling others the good news. And I pray you'll continue your blessings on our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, if you would, please, if you're planning on coming, I hope that you will come. But I hope that you'll come right over here and meet with the rest of the ladies. And then you'll talk about the menu here. And don't forget about all the other announcements and activities. And don't forget about your faith promise. I pray that you are praying about your faith promise. I know that I think I've got the mind of the Lord, and I'm planning on tearing that off right there and putting that in there, folding it up, putting it in. There's no name or anything on there, and so it's just between the Lord and myself, but putting that in Sunday. So don't forget to do that, so we'll be able to determine what we'll be able to do in this coming year in the area of missions. Well, God bless you, Julio. Gracias por venir, Señor. Thanks for coming. He speaks both languages. Amen. Amen. And thank you for coming. And God bless y'all. Shake hands with our visitors and each other. And we'll see you this weekend.